T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Voice of the Golden State Warriors, Bob Fitzgerald. You hear him on NBC Sports Bay Area along with Kalena Azubuike. You can hear him again at 4:30. Warriors against the New York Knicks. Hey, Bob, we're playing this song because Billy Joel has the Madison Square Garden record, 12 consecutive sellouts at Madison Square Garden. Billy Joel.
Damn,
have you ever seen him?
Somewhere Springsteen's like, hey, let me take a shot at that one.
That is true. Hey, listen, you've been back to Madison Square Garden a million times, I'm sure. For someone like you, you've got ties in the Midwest and ties out here. Was it special when you go back to Madison Square Garden, and is there any way to kind of explain what it's like if you do?
Okay, can I actually tell a behind the scenes TV story that probably didn't put me in good stead with people in New York?
As long as it doesn't involve me, sure.
All right, so everybody falls all over themselves for the Garden in New York and da-da-da-da-da. So about my fifth or sixth year doing the Warriors, and the Warriors obviously weren't very good, and the whole TV crew, you know, oh, the Garden and this is it. I said, hey, not for nothing. Your last title was in 1973. Even the Warriors won a title in 75. What's all this genuflecting for New York and the Knicks? They stink. And immediately I had 30 people on the TV crew just completely angry at me the rest of the night. So don't ever insult New Yorkers. They take it very personally.
Bob, as a fellow Bay Arean born and raised here myself, I have that same viewpoint. So it feels good to have you bolster my anti-Mecca argument. But
here's the thing, Dibs, is like, I don't like the Knicks. I don't like the New York Giants. I don't like the Yankees. I don't like the Mets. I don't like the Jets. Okay, so I don't like any of the New York teams. And so every time they're like, hey, LeBron's coming here, I'm like, no. Oh, you know, Carmelo's going to turn everything around. No. You know, hey, Durant's going to leave and go to the Knicks. No. So, you know, I'm sorry. That's Mike Breen's the only thing I love about the Knicks, him and Walt Frazier. Yeah. That's what I love about New York.
The Islanders are dead to me too, Bob, if you want to pile on hockey. You know, that's just the New York cosmos.
Dennis Hoffman and those guys can stick it.
Tell me about, though, Steph Curry's 54-point night, where that ranks, not only in Garden lore, but in just great Curry Warrior games.
Well, I mean, the thing is now it's third, you know, because he's passed it twice this year, and that was a loss. So to me, while people, you know, they want to, again, it's New York, oh, whatever, like, they lost the game. It's now his third highest. When he's done, it'll probably be his fifth or sixth highest scoring game, and they lost. So I think it was, if people hadn't seen how good Steph was or didn't realize, you know, that he was about to burst on the scene, I think that's fair. I think there's an announcement there. But, you know, to me, the Warrior winning, you know, in the seven straight playoff years and the five trips to the finals and the three titles and the two MVPs and all that stuff, you know, are more important. So, you know, but it's, again, everything is outsized in New York. You know, that's just what it is. And you do go there once. I wish he only went there once and played Brooklyn and New York at the same time, because they make the Warriors fly the most air miles of any team in the league this year for some reason. But, you know, it's a big game for winning, because the Warriors now have played 11 games without their centers. They're 5-6 in those 11 games, but five of those six losses are by 5 points or less. They're just gut-wrenching losses where they've all been so close, and they haven't lost three in a row all season. And you hope that streak isn't broken tonight if they can take care of the Knicks, because they need a win on this trip.
Fitz, I got to put you in the Johnson household on Saturday night. I'm getting ready for the game. Steph back in Charlotte. Wife made homemade chili, no beans, Fitz. And then we find out Steph's not playing, and your Warrior catalog in regard to calling games is second to none, and I'm going to steal from Dibley. Put that on Mount Surprisemore before tip. How shocked were you when you found out Steph wasn't playing? Because I was floored.
Well, here's the weird thing about it. We noticed it, you know, because we're doing these games on the road. We have cameras watching all the warm-ups. And so I'm like, you know, hey, is Looney working out? Is Wiseman working out? How's he looking? Like when Draymond was coming back from the health and safety protocols, I watched all his workouts. Hey, is he winded? Is, you know, how's he looking? So I watched Steph's warm-up, you know, which I'll do again in a couple hours. And Guru, man, he just... it wasn't there. Like, there wasn't the bounce or the fun, or he wasn't saying hey to a bunch of people. We didn't do kind of a trick shot at the end. And it's like, either he's serious as a heart attack or my guy's not feeling great. You know, I mean, I've seen him warm up for 12 years. So to me, it was a little funky. So when they said, hey, right before tip, you know, he's not going to play, and you just saw him walk off the court and the way he walked off the court, I'm like, you know, he's out of sorts. And then everybody freaks out, you know, is he hurt? And this, I'm like, I don't think he's hurt. Just think he's not feeling good. So, and he practiced yesterday, and I fully expect him to play today. But that happens. Matt knows. He traveled for years and stuff too. Like, you know, back-to-back suck in terms of, you know, sleep and this and that. Sometimes food-wise, your stomach's jacked up and different things. And, you know, either you feel, hey, I'm blood sugar-wise, am I lightheaded or dizzy or whatever's going on? Like, we're not made to fly around in tin cans at 35,000 feet and just, you know, not sleep and go all over the world. That's just not how our bodies are kind of made sometimes, even for the elite Ferrari-type bodies.
Bob Fitzgerald joining us on 95.7 The Game. Bob, I gotta push back just a hair, as an East Coast guy. You've got to acknowledge that for whatever reason, when players from outside New York play at the Garden, or if when they go home to play at the Garden, it's a little something special.
Oh no,
it's a
that's
little
totally
different
true,
than
Matt.
The
I'm not denying that. Someone asked me if, you know, you guys were asking if I'm gonna, you know, fall all over New York. I don't, but I'm not from there. You know, like you said, I mean, to me, you know, Chicago matters more and the Bay matters more than all of it. So, you know, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, New York's the media capital and, you know, they're like the Eastern Conference. They used to be good in the 70s, you know. So if you want to go down memory lane, I mean, I've been hearing that same crap about the Eastern Conference. Like, oh, it'll even out, you know, one of these decades. It's 2021, man. When was the East good? In the early 90s? Like, what the hell? So... you know, I mean, I want the best 16 teams in the playoffs, so I'm not falling at the altar of the East or the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of things that need to be rectified about all that.
Man, the Warriors were rolling through the East until this Eastern trip that has been highlighted, or low-lighted, I should say, by the Draymond Green meltdown. Bob, what work does he put in to try to control his anger? Because that, to me, is the only Achilles heel in his entire game.
Yeah, but I think this, you know, and you guys know Draymond well, and we've all seen it. I think Steve Kerr kind of summed it up the best, is that the defensive player of the year and the all-stars and the winning and the championships and the teammate and the leader that he is all comes from that chili running hot. And sometimes it spills over the edge of the bowl. And part of what makes him great is also the one thing where he'll cross the line and go over the top. And you can't bridle that, and you take the 97% of it that's awesome, and you kind of tolerate and live with the 3% that isn't. And it just, that's where we are, I think. I loved his discussion, you know, yesterday, where my teammates supported me and believe in me, but that behavior didn't deserve support because he was castigating himself. You know, I'm all for getting the tea if you're hot or this or that, but, you know, two free throws in that situation, you know, you took a game away from your team, and that's never cool, ever, no matter who you are. And now here's the funny thing. It's not funny. It's just kind of a weird observation. You know, the Draymond Durant blow-up occurred when Steph didn't play and wasn't with the team.
That's
the Draymond
right.
Two T's there, is it a game, again, where Steph didn't play? I think if there's one guy on the court that could have said, hey, turn around, you know, that's it, it would have been Steph, and he wasn't there.
Yeah, it's Steph's fault. From Bob Fitzgerald, you heard it here first.
There's one guy right now, because there is no David West and there is no Andre or Zaza and people like that. There's one guy right now, and especially with Clay out too, there's one guy that can grab, you know, Draymond and just say, hey, that's it. Come on, dude. Like, that's one guy, and he wasn't there. You know, so, but it doesn't, you know, Draymond didn't make any excuses. He totally owned it. And that's what you got to do. But it costs them. If they miss the playoffs by a single game, it'll be brutal. I don't think they will, so that'll be okay. But I'm with Steve. Like, I'm going to take the 97% just a phenomenal stuff because I love Draymond till the end of the day, you know, the end of the earth, really. But at the same time, you know, when he goes over the top, it does stink and it hurts.
Yeah, I'm with you, Fitz, because you can't forget the math of it. You know, everything's all good, but you can't forget the math. Before you hopped on, we were talking about Oubre. I know you judge these players on the totality of the season, but, Bob, you watched. It was nightmare on Warrior Street, his start. How impressed are you with him? Because I said I'm giving him extra credit for not just falling off. The dude's in a bit of a zone. What do you think about his future as a Warrior? Is it too soon to even talk about it?
Well, no, I don't think it's too soon to talk about it. I think the first month, you know, he was 2 of 30 on threes, and offensively he didn't fit in, and he'd never played the style, and he hadn't played in 10 months. That was the other thing, too, is that Oubre, you know, didn't go with the Suns to the bubble. So, you know, Steph didn't shoot at Steph level the first month of the season either. I mean, even no matter how good you are, 10 months off is 10 months off. So, you know, ugly first month. But what I liked in that first month is he always played hard and he always played defense. And I'm thinking, you know what? He's got every excuse just to be like beside himself because he can't throw it in the ocean. So then, okay, start to figure out spacing and passing and stuff and what he could do in the open floor. And Steve did a good job now subbing him with that second unit and letting him be more of a focal point there. And then in February, he's the best player on the team. Yeah. I mean, he's shooting better than Steph on threes for the month of February. And it's not like Steph's had a bad February. So, you know, Oubre to me, you know, 20 a game and 6 boards and 48% from the field and 46% on threes. Like, oh my goodness, like, this is amazing. So, to your point, I think it really is, would he take a reasonable number and stay a Warrior, or is he going to, you know, go for a huge payday and go somewhere else? Because he's making 14, and I don't know that the Warriors, you know, the finances make any sense for him at 14 if he's coming off the bench next year, which, right. You know, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Wiseman, those are the starters next year. So I love Oubre. I mean, I'd take him as my sixth or seventh guy, but I just think that's going to be a financial thing for people way above, you know, my pay grade to figure out.
Yeah, and I also think you look at where Oubre is in his career at 25.
Right.
You know, this may be the one where he wants to, you know, go, you know, try to get the best contract he can.
Yeah, what's interesting, Matt, is, you know, you think of Harrison Barnes, who's also another guy I really love. You know, Harrison Barnes, part of why Durant would fit into the slot was that Festus Ezeli turned down an offer and Harrison Barnes turned down an offer. And that's why the Warriors had the cap room to bring Durant in.
That's right.
And then you're like, man, HB, like, this would have been like such a great place and everything, but he got a gazillion dollars from Dallas.
Right, exactly.
And so you can't ever, you know, hey, don't take $100 million or don't take $80 million, you know, come here for love. I mean, that's, you can't get in other people's pockets on that one. And I, whatever Kelly does, I'll be super happy for him because I'm with you. The way he kind of saddled up and played through that first month and the way he's fit in and just the person he is. But I love guys that play hard all the time. It's just sometimes we take that for granted with Draymond and Oubre and people like that. But, you know, give me guys that give me effort every night, good, bad, or indifferent. I'll live with those guys. They're fun.
Yeah, and one of them's, not to get into it, but Juan Toscano-Anderson's the kind of guy I'm talking about.
So. My favorite, although the only thing scared the hell out of me because he said when I met him for the first time in Santa Cruz, we were doing a G League game, and I introduced myself. He's like, Bob, you don't have to say who you are, but I grew up watching you.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, and then I looked. My first Warrior game was February 18th, 1993, And he wasn't born until April 1993.
Oh, boy.
I'm the only announcer he's ever had in his life for his hometown team. So I was like, thanks for making me feel really old.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to throw you on the spot, Bob. You're not really old, but you've been doing it for a while. How long do you want to do this? Be the Warrior play-by-play guy.
Well, Steph told me to do his whole career.
Okay.
Oh, that's the little thing I got with 30. That,
look at you. You're like Pop and Duncan, you and Steph.
Yeah, we've had like, you know, because I've asked him, how long are you going to play? And, you know, right. We talk about how long Dell played and this and that. And he's like, how long you want to do this and fly around and do whatever? I said, I don't know. And he said, well, you got to do my whole career. Yeah. I said, all right. That's sort of my, you know, if he wants me to do his whole career, it'd be tough to say no to him.
All righty. Well, that means you're going to be around for a while, which is good news.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I mean, you know, and I do think there's one more run in this team. I really do, you know, especially if the Minnesota pick works out and, you know, if the Warriors have a playoff season, but then they also still keep their pick because, you know, they're not in the top 10. And, you know, you add it to what they have and the way they're playing and just who they are and the compete level they have, no matter who's missing and what the circumstances are, man, I can't wait for the next, you know, the rest of this year, but the next couple of years of the Warriors. I just think the next chapter is going to be super fun.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, I heard all the props, man. Take the unders on everything. The Draymond T, the Curry 30, the Wiseman minutes. Take the under on all those.
Yeah,
and
we have.
I took
I got
the under on Bobby Fitz references, too. I thought we'd have a few more than we did in this one.
There you go.
Have a good one.
You're sounding great.